Praise God. This is Sunday morning, October the 3rd. And we're going to turn. The first place we're going to go will be 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now let's read this same verse in the Amplified. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation, under the mighty hand of God, that in the due time, he may exalt you. Now, it doesn't just stop there. If you could just pull that one verse out and you just read that one verse, there was more to this. Because before you can do verse 7, you've got to do verse 6. And this is where a lot of people have a hard time serving God. They get frustrated and they give up on God. They forget it. They just say, it's just too hard. Because they do not know how to demote themselves and understand who they really are. Because it's really hard, because we think so highly of ourselves, and we think we're so smart, we think we know it all, and we think we have it all together, and it's just really hard to really see yourself for the way you are, because every man walks in a vain show. Did you know that? It says every one of us walk in a vain show. We really think we're something. Most people do. You know, I've got this and I own that and I've got this going on and I've got that going on and look what I've done. The first thing, if you listen to people, they'll do is they'll tell you all about themselves, how accomplished they are, and they own this and they own that and they're going here. Because I've been with a lot of people this past couple of weeks over here at this campgrounds. There's probably 1,000 people descended over here with the equestrian games. And one thing I've observed is that everybody walks around in a vain show. They pretty much... They've come from all over the world over there. Australia, France. I've met people from England, Ireland, probably every country, major country in the whole world's over there. And it's some interesting people. But I don't know any of them that come in talking bad about themselves or talking bad about how unworthy they are, how worthless they are, how, you know, they don't have anything and they're never going to amount to anything. Now, they may think it sometimes. But most of the time, most people, especially people that are lost, they think pretty highly of themselves. But when you come to the place where you really want to know God and you really want God to minister in your life, this is where you start. This is where I had to start in my quest for God. I saw that word quest right there. In my quest for God, it is a quest. It is a quest. It's a journey. It is something I determined I'm going to find God. I'm going to know God, and I'm going to find God. And it really is something you have to determine to do. And I determined I'm going to know God. But this is where I had to start. I had to start in verse 6 of chapter 5. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And that is hard to do. It's hard to do because your brain is already trying to figure it all out. Most of us don't even come to God until we have a problem. And then when we've got a problem, we're still trying to figure it all out. How this is going to happen, how God's going to do this. And, you know, I've learned this the hard way. And I've learned this, I guess, just from living for God over the years. I just had to come to a place where I've seen Him move so many, many times in my life. But I can remember way back there when I first accepted the Lord, it was like I had to figure it out. I had to know something. I had to know for sure that God was going to help me. I had to know that, you know, God really loved me and God really wanted me. Well, once you get that under your belt and you know God really is your God and He really is on your side, you'll never get away from humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. No matter how much you know God, how many times you've seen God move in your life, I always have to come back to square one every time. I have to humble myself. I don't care how many scriptures I know or how well I think I know God or how much I've seen God move in my life or how many miracles I've witnessed. No matter how awesome God has been in my life, I have to stay humble and keep a humble heart before the Almighty. That's number one, because even ministries and people that have money and people have position and people have fame, it is something you've got to keep yourself humble. You know, this song we sang this morning, it just brings a humility to me. When you think about how powerful the Almighty God is, and the scripture comes to mind, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Now, I don't mean think of yourself as just somebody everybody can tread on and walk on, and I'm not somebody's doormat. But when it talks about humility, it's not talking about thinking of yourself as a worm and dirt and all these things. It's talking about you getting out of the way. Your wants, your wishes, your plans, your desires are put under. It's like, I cannot stand before Almighty God and say, now God, this is how I think you should do this. Let me tell you, God, what I think. God doesn't care what we think. To be humble before God means to say, I surrender to God. Humility, true humility is truly surrender. Truly saying, here I am. I don't care. It's your house. Here I am. You do with my life what you want. That is humility. That is true humility. Not thinking yourself as a worm and bad. I'm talking, I surrender to you. I want your will done in my life, period. Now, I had to settle this a long, long time ago, that I had to surrender my will, my wants, my wishes, my desires to Him. Everything I have is His. Everything I own is His. Every place I live, I'm living here right now today because it's the will of God for me to live right here today. Everything I do, I want it to be His will. Everything I say, I want it to be His will. I want to know His heartbeat. I want to be so close to God that I know His heartbeat. I want to know what He wants for me. But I had to first surrender and humble myself, because the exaltation that God wants to bring into our lives, it's not money. You know what? Let me share something. It is not money God wants to bless you with, even though He will. It's not possessions and houses and lands He wants you to have more than anything, even though He'll do that. Do you know what God wants you and I to have more than anything else in the world? He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to know Him. I mean, really trust Him. If we don't trust God, we're just putting on a show. We're just doing all the things that we're supposed to do that looks good, feels good, acts good. That's not true humility. True humility is surrender to God. And when you say, God, I don't care if it hurts. I want your will. I don't care if it takes me losing everything I have. I want your will. I don't care if it means me giving up everything that I've ever wanted. I want your will in my life. That is humility. That is truly surrendering to God. Now, God's not up there wanting to take everything away. He's not wanting that, but He wants a heart of surrender. When He says in Romans, he said, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Do you know what that really is saying? Don't think like the world. Well, how do I not think like the world? Because I'm of the world. I'm in the world. I've been in the world. I've been a part of the world. How do I not conform to that? I don't know anything else to conform to. That's all I've ever had a pattern to go by. That's the only pattern I've ever had. The world is the only thing I've ever known. I happen to be born in the world. I grew up in the world. So how am I supposed to be conformed to anything else? He says, by the renewing of your thought life, the way you think. Start thinking my thoughts after me. Start thinking like I think. And then when you get His word as your pattern, then you can start seeing, hey, I'm conforming to something I've never seen before. I'm conforming to a whole new way of life. And this conformity is a conformity of the mind. It has to be in the mind. It can't be our own ideas. We can so reason our way out of things and reason for other people and, oh, yeah, they did that because of this, and, oh, yeah, they did this because of that. We really need to get a mind from God. We got to get a mind, the mind of God on everything. But before we can ever do anything, we got to do verse number 6. Humble yourself. If I could humble you, humble each other. Doesn't say humble each other. I can't humble anybody. God said, you humble yourself. Yourself is yourself. I can't humble anybody. All I can do is humble me. And that's a hard, hard thing to do. Because the hardest thing I've ever done was to get me out of the way and get me aside and lay my life on the altar of God and say, God, what is your plan for my life? Because I like the exalting. I like the blessing. I like having God exalt me in due season. And I like this part, verse 7. This is the part I was trying to get to. Casting all your care. All your care. Well, let me see. Let's see. I'll keep some of it over here, but I'll give you this. This is what's bothering me the most. Let me just give you this part. I'll keep this and I'll work on this, God, while you're working on that. I'll keep this over here and I'll do my part working on this. And then, God, you do your part working on that. That's not what he said. He says, you cast all your care. All your care. All your care. No, I got to figure, I can handle this, God. Now, you go ahead and take care of the big stuff. I'll handle the little stuff. I can manipulate this and I can manipulate that and I can figure this out. And I'm smart and I'm clever and I'm ingenious and, you know, charisma, whatever. And I'll figure this out and you go ahead and take care of that, God. I can't handle that. We have a hard time realizing if he wants ALL. ALL means all. You cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you, and then he will exalt you. The exaltation is the revelation of how to walk for him and live for him. That's what the bottom line is here. I don't know if you see this like I see it here, but I think we do, because most of us have been Christians a long time. And if before you can ever be verse 8, you got to do verse 6, verse 7, and then lights come on. The light bulb will come on. The revelation will come on. Hey, there's a devil after me. There's a devil out to kill me, out to steal from me, out to destroy from me. There is really somebody out there who's lurking and behind the corners and watching for me. He's waiting on me to slip up. And you will. You'll slip up. You'll open the door to the devil. You will. You might not want to, but you will, because we're not perfect. We've got to have the perfect one covering us all the time. Oh, but I know how to pray, and I know how to read the word, and I know how to confess. And I'm telling you, I used to take the word of God and speak. But if you ain't humbled first, and you've not submitted first, and you've not said, Lord, I want your will first, then all the speaking to a mountain and all the praying in the all the faith in the world is not going to operate, because you have to first get it under the covering of casting the care upon him first. When you cast the care upon him, guess what? He's got it. If I take something and I cast it, I've had it in my hand first, or I couldn't have cast it. So the care, I got to throw that thing. I got to fling that thing. Really, it says fling that far from you. Get it out of your hands. Get it away from you. Get it so far from you that you don't even walk. You walk carefree. You just walk around carefree because you don't have the care anymore. And we want to still hang on to it. Oh, I got to figure this out. I know if I do this, or if I pray a certain way, or if I fast, or if I... You know what? I'm telling you, humbling yourself under God is when you just lay yourself out and you just say, God, here it is. Come hell or high water, I'm going to serve you. I'm still going to church. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to read the word. I'm still going to love you with all my heart. I'm still going to serve you no matter what anybody thinks, no matter what anybody says about me. I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm going to heaven. If they want to go, praise God. Come on, let's go to heaven. But I'm going to heaven. If anybody wants to come, you can come. The way's been made. He's no respecter of persons. If you want to go to heaven, come on, I'm going to show you the way. Come on, let's go to heaven. But if you don't want to go, I'm going anyway. I'm going anyway. I want everybody to come. I've seen a lot of people this week that I wish I could grab them by the neck and shake them real good and make them get saved. There's been people I want to just whip them into shape. You can't do it. Do you know the salvation plan of salvation is just as free to me and anybody else that wants it? Anybody. But the biggest problem people have is this verse 6. They do not know how to humble themselves. You want a lot in God? You want to know? You want to be big in Jesus? You want to know how to speak to mountains? You want to know how to walk by faith? You want to know how to climb to the highest heights with God and walk in revelation with God and know the things of the kingdom of heaven and understand all the mysteries and know all the things that God says that you can have? You got to humble first. This has to happen to me first. I had to have this revelation that if I think I'm something or I can make anything happen, can you add 1 inch to your height by taking thought? Ask yourself that. If I sit around hard and think hard enough and plan hard enough, can I add 1 inch to how tall I am? Can I, by taking thought, Jesus asked the question, can you, by taking thought, make your hair turn a color? I think hair, I want you to be blue today, or I want you to be red, or I want you to be brown. You can think on that and talk about that, and it ain't going to happen. But if you can humble yourself under this hand of God. Do you know how big the hand of God, do you know what the hand of God represents? Hand of God represents provision. The hand of God always represents provision. Provision, provision, blessings. Blessings, provision. He said he opens his hand and he satisfies the desire of every living thing. But you got to humble yourself under his mighty hand first. Get you out of the way. Stop trying to figure out how it's all going to happen. And you give God the problem. Cast all your care upon him because you're going to heaven. You know the plan of the devil is to keep us so bogged down with care, keep us so troubled with care, get our minds so thick and so worrisome about cares, get us worried about this one and worried about that one. We got so, our thought processes are so churning, full. He wants to keep you so confused and so messed up in your thinker that you can't truly worship God effectively. And you certainly can't help anybody else because you're a mess. But I tell you, the devil is afraid of somebody. He's terrified of the believer who knows how to really take the care and throw it out there. Because then he has nothing he can get to you with. Because he says, be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant. I've been so drunk with care. I've been so drunk and so down and so depressed over situations that I was drunk with the cares of life. I know what it feels like to be drunk with care. That's why you can't be sober until you cast the care. You cannot serve God effectively until you give him the care of that problem. Cast it on him. I mean, really do it. Not just say you do it. Do it. Do it. Humble yourself and cast the care. Then you can be sober. Then you can be vigilant. Won't mess with my prayer time, buddy. This problem is not messing with my prayer time. I'm not going to cry another tear for you. I'm not going to worry another moment about you. I've cast you on God. Problem, I've given you to God. I don't worry about if I'm going to eat tomorrow. I don't care what I'm going to wear tomorrow. I don't worry about my bills at all. I don't worry about anything. In fact, I don't worry about anything. Because it says I'm not supposed to. He's my God. He's responsible for Teresa. It took me a long time to come to the place where I just didn't care anymore. I just don't care. I belong to him. I'm his problem. I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to the Almighty God. And you better not touch me. You better not talk about me. Because I tell you what, I won't get you. I don't have to get you. You'd be better off if I tried to get you over it. Because I'll tell you who will get you. He will take care of my enemies. I feel more sorry for the ones that God is after than the ones that I could go after. Because I tell you, I can only do limited amount of things to him. I'm afraid of what he'll do for me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I had a girl one time talked about me and talked against me and took me in front of my bosses in my job a few years back. And railed me and raked me over the coals, and he was taking notes, and she had all this list of the grievances against me, and it was stuff I just couldn't even believe, made up every penny, every bit of it. She just made everything up, and she was like the devil himself in this girl. You did this, and you did that. I'm thinking, I'm standing there like in front of my accusers.
2 weeks later, almost to the day, she gets a phone call at work. We're all working. There's a big staff of us, about 25 of us in this office. She gets a phone call. You got to get home, and you better get home quick. Your house just fell in on itself. The pipe on the third floor bursted, and it flooded the first floor, flooded the second floor, all the walls, everything, filled up, and then the next floor filled up with water, and then the bottom floor, all the way to the basement. The whole house fell in on itself. Then her husband, a week or so later, got fired from his job, and then a few weeks later, she gets fired. And I didn't pray I didn't pray that on that girl. I prayed for her salvation. Because I've learned how to go back to square one. I go back to square one. The same thing I did 32 years ago, I still do today. I still do tomorrow. I'll still do this next week. I'll still do this in 100 years if I'm still around. I have learned that it works. When I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, He'll take care of my enemies. He'll take care of my problems. He'll take care of the situation in my life. He'll take care of whatever the care could be in this world. Because there's no care bigger than God. His hand is bigger than any problem I'll ever have. His provision is perfectly fine on my life. Hallelujah. His provision is more than I'll ever need. If God's okay with me, if God likes me, that's all I care about. If I can keep Him happy and I worship Him and love Him, humbling myself gives Him more blessing than anything I could ever do. Me walking around telling God all about myself, I thank this God and I thank that, humbling myself and worshiping God gets His attention. It gets His attention. Because then you are not your God anymore. You've turned away from being your own little God, building your own little world, building your own little kingdom. You're no longer the God of your life. You know who your God is, and I know who He is in my life. I can't save myself. I could never save myself. I can never help myself, but I know who can. And I've learned to humble myself under this mighty, mighty hand. And He does exalt me. It doesn't matter how bad I look, how low I've gotten. I wait upon God. Wait upon the Lord. He will exalt you. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Wait. You just wait. You might see me down. You might see me look like I'm almost out. God will always raise me up. Always raise me up. He's just that way. He knows the heart that's humble. You cannot fool God. He knows whether you trust Him. He knows whether you're really putting Him first in your life. He knows whether you really, really, really trust Him to be your God. He really knows. He knows. He knows. He tells me to give, buddy, I give. He's asked me to give my last penny many a time, and I give it. He's asked me to give this to this one and give that to that one. Oh, Lord, I kind of like that. No, I told you to give it. I give it. I'm a constant conscious person about the hand of God. Because my hand can be His hand in the earth to other people. Did you know that? When you allow God, your hand to be the mighty hand of God, that's awesome. I want God to let me be His hand. Let me be His mouth. God, you're the mighty God. You use me, God. Any way you want to. Just any old way you want to. It all belongs to you. Humble myself. I have to do it. I have to do it. Amen. I have to do it. It's hard. You know, I have to sometimes smack myself and say, come on. You are not going to do this. Or you're not going to do that. And let me tell you, sometimes when we do mess up, He's given us a way out. He's given us a way out. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9. I live by this one because I have to confess this all the time. I remind God about this and I remind myself, God, you said, confess your sins. Confess your faults one to another is another one in James. But anyway, 1 John 1:9 says, confess your faults or confess your sins and He's faithful and just. If we do it, if we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes I tell the Lord, Lord, I just need a drink. I just need a drink from you. I need a drink from you, and that's all I need. That's all I need is a drink. Was it Elijah that went 40 days on one meal? Lord told me a long time ago, he said, Teresa, this is what the Lord said to me. You need to study the Old Testament, and I have, but you don't live there anymore. That was the covenant that I provided for the Jews. That was the first covenant. And it's good to look at it. It's good to understand it, because all the blessings of the covenant are still pertinent to you today. But he said, this is where you live. Look here, this is the New Testament. This is where you live today. You don't live in the Old Testament. You live in the New Testament. You're a New Testament believer. You're a born-again Christian. You're now born of God, a child of God, and you have a Father and you have a Savior. The old covenant folks didn't know God like this. We have a Father. He's my Father, God. He's my Daddy. But this is why we have to know what He promises and what He tells us to do and do it in the New Testament. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now, He cannot exalt you if you don't do that. Square one, do not expect Him to exalt you if you don't do this. Really. It just isn't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. I didn't mean this to be so serious, but I'm sharing from my heart, because I wake up on Sunday mornings and I say, Lord, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to share? And it's been this way from the day I started ministering here 3 years ago. I don't know. Many a times I've got up here and I don't know. But He gives me something because He loves us. He loves His sheep. He told Peter, feed my sheep. And I said, Lord, I'm here to feed the sheep. Whatever you want me to share, that's what I'll share. Let's go now to St. John chapter 6. St. John chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus told the disciples, and he was talking to, let me find it here. They wanted to see a sign. He's talking to the Jews here, and they wanted to see a sign. If you read verse 30, he said, they said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? Do you know we're the same human beings that they were then? Do you know the human race hasn't changed a lot in 2,000 years? We still like to see signs and wonders before we'll believe. We still want to see God show up and do something, and then we'll believe. We want to have God do something wonderful, and then I'll believe. But no, this casting your care on Him that He can exalt you in due season has to happen after you've believed. You see, you'll never, ever humble yourself until you do believe. But they had to see a sign before they would believe. They're not humbling themselves under God. Let's see a sign first. Let's see God do something for me. I got to see God show up first, and then I'll believe, and then maybe I'll humble myself. Humbling yourself is when you say, I trust you. I believe in you 100%. I have confidence in you that you'll do everything you promised me you'll do. That's humility. That's trust. None of us are there. None of us are there like we should be. None of us. I'm not there, but at least I see it. At least I have revelation of it. At least I can recognize, hey, this is what I need to work on. I need to have a little more faith in God, a little more trust in God. But the Jews had to see a sign. Then they would believe. And then he says in verse 31, our fathers did eat manna. This is what the Jews were saying to Jesus. Hey, our fathers ate manna. You poured manna, a miracle. Gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. He's talking about himself. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is all about provision. It's all about the hand of God. It's all about being exalted in due season. It's all about seeing God show up in your life, being your bread, being your provision, being your water. When you're thirsty, He'll give you drink. When you have a bill to pay, He'll take care of that. This is about how Jesus came down and is the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what we live by. I'm talking about believers. Now, the world doesn't know anything about what we're sharing today. In fact, you had an unbeliever here. This would sound like, whoa, What planet are you talking spiritual things? Because spiritual things are only discerned by other spiritual people. We're talking spiritual language. We're talking a language they don't get. They can't because it's spiritually discerned. But Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Bread represents stability. Whatever it is you need to have to sustain your life, he is it. He's my life. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life is what he said. But I said unto you, verse 36, that you also have seen me and believe not. You believe not. Don't be in that group. Don't be in the group that believes not. But you will be until you learn to humble yourself and learn how to cast every care. Believing is not about seeing a sign and then you'll believe. Make this verse, this next verse, this is the verse I wanted to get to. But I said unto you, Jesus is talking, listen up. I said to you, and I believe he's saying it to us today, because he said it to me, that you also have seen me and believe not. Verse 37, and all the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father has given you, all that the Father, Lord, has given you, you said they'll come to you. That means if I go anywhere else to get my bread, I go anywhere else to get my sustenance, anywhere else to get my provision, anywhere else to get my help, anywhere else to get my water, I'm not coming to Jesus. Because whoever's been given, whoever God has given to Jesus, will come to Jesus. They will humble themselves. They will surrender their life. They will yield their heart to him and say, this is your way. I'm going to walk there in it. He said, John the Baptist said, make your path straight. You cannot, either you love one and hate the other. You cannot serve two masters. Either he's your master or he's not. Either you're walking the road that leads to heaven or you're not. There's only two roads. So Jesus is making a complete statement. It's an absolute statement. He said, whoever the Father gives to me, whoever the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's me. You all can say that's me. That's me. God gave me to Jesus. In fact, Jesus told Peter, he says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And in another place he said, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. So we have a promise here that if God gave us to Jesus, and it says if he came, if God gives you to me, you'll come to me. And if you've come to me, he made you a promise. He made me a promise. If you've come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. I will never send you away empty. I will never turn you out. You bring the problem to me. You come to him with your whole heart. He'll never turn me away. I know how to humble myself and come to him. And he says, I'll never send you away. I'll never cast you out. I always have time for you. I always make provision for you. I'll do everything I promised to do for you. But you first got to come to him and surrender and cast the care and be sober. Don't let the problems of life make you drunk to where you can't think right. You can't plan right. You can't live right. You don't have joy anymore because the devil's out to steal your joy. Bog us down. Worry us down. Wear us out. Wearing us down. He likes to wear the saints out. You know that? This is the key. This is the key. This is a preserve. I've learned how to be persevere, but I also know how to preserve. Preserve and persevere. That's two good words. Sound a lot alike. If you've done a lot of canning in my life, not lately, but I used to can. Had pressure canners. I've canned out in the open fire in vats of water. I've canned under pressure canners. I was a big time canner. Had big gardens. Rosemary knows what I'm talking about. And there's something about when you get that temperature just right and those seals goes, those lids just go. And you know you got that for another 6 months or 7 months, no matter what, that's going to be good. You can go back in that cellar months later, years later, And that can, the green beans, is just as fresh as the day that seal popped on it. The way I feel the word in my heart. I got it. It's fresh every day when I need it. His mercies are new every morning. Is that can, pop that lid, and I got a fresh word. It's preserved my life. So get in a situation, I humble myself. I lay myself bare before him, and I go back to square one. Then I know I'm real close to seeing the mighty hand of God. Tells me to give, I give. Tells me to go, I go. He tells me to go preach somewhere, I go preach somewhere. Whatever he tells me to do, Jesus said, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. That's what the mother said to the servant. Whatever he says to do, you do it. I've learned to hear from God. Hear from God. Have an ear to hear. I spend time in his word. I spend time at his feet. I listen. And I know that if anyone that comes to him, he said, I will in no wise cast out. He'll never send me away empty-handed. Never send me away. Who am I? You know what's the difference in me? I know how to humble myself. I know how to not care. So I don't have care because it's all in him. I've learned how to cast the care. Be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind. If your peace, you don't have any peace, it's because you haven't cast the care. That's the truth. That's the way you can tell. That's your temperature gauge. You got a fever, you take a temperature. If it's 105, you got a problem. If you've got anxiety, you got worry, and you're drunk and you're upset, it's because you haven't cast the care. You're still carrying the care, trying to figure it out. And a lot of it's witchcraft. Do you know witchcraft? Christians work in witchcraft. I know how to walk in faith and I know how to pray, but a lot of times we're using manipulation instead of faith. So the Jews needed a sign. Mark 11. I know this is not a new word, but I think it's a timely word. It's a timely word. Mark 11, 23. Probably the most important verse you'll ever believe, if you'll believe it and do it. I love what Gloria Copeland always said. It's the word that you act upon. It's the word that you know first. First you got to know it, and then you act upon it, really act upon it by faith, that brings results. It's the word you know that you act upon that makes the difference in your life. And this word here, Jesus said, and answering and saith unto them, have faith in God. Well, the person who's not humbled herself is not going to operate in faith in God. They may believe God can do it. They may believe in God, and they can talk the good talk and walk the walk, but they're not believing it. Have faith in God, and then it tells you how to do that. Jesus had just demonstrated with the fig tree what having faith in God was. You know what having faith in God was? It's answering the situation according to the word of God. He said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, if you're doing this verse before you've cast the care, if you're doing this verse instead of casting the care, you're missing it completely. Completely. Because I could speak to the problem, and still I got the problem. Because I haven't casted the care of it. See, this, we want to make the word work for us the way we want it to work for us. We want to take this verse and make this work. You know, there's different types of prayers, and there's different types of ways to pray. I cannot speak to another human being and command them to be saved. I can't. I can't make them do anything because they have a will. There's the right way to pray for people. There's a right way to pray for situations. Number one thing is humbling yourself. Got to humble yourself. Got to cast the care. Then you wait on instructions on how to pray. A lot of times the word will just come to you. The Lord will say, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to believe. This is what I want you to say. This is what I want you to do. Instructions will come, but you got to first cast the care. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and then you shall have them.
There's no sign here. There's no sign. You have to believe first. You have to believe first. See, this kind of faith that he's talking about right here, this is not just having faith in God. This is called the God kind of faith. And it's something that we graduate into as we cast our care on him. And then the faith of God. See, you cannot believe beyond your word level. If you don't have a faith in God, the God kind of faith, you can't believe in something you have not heard a word on. In other words, you cannot pray beyond what your faith level. This type of faith is not casting the care. This is walking in the word. This is when you know what the word has said is yours. This is when you know what your promises are. And you pray according to, and you speak according to the provision of God. That's already yours. Covenant provision. Now, I got to take us one more place. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Because this is all tied in together. 11. Most people, and myself included, years and years of this discerning situations in life, problems in life, and situations and things and cares and things that come along in life, we can't just put them in one big basket and shake them together and expect the same scriptures to work on everything. We can't. You know, well, I'll pull this out, or I'll pull that out, and I'll make this work for me today. It's like we become the one in control, and we're not the one in control. God is the one in control of our lives. You have to first humble yourself under his mighty hand, and he will exalt you. Now, this is where he'll exalt you, is in knowing how to effectively pray and how and when and what to speak to and how to speak to it and how to have the God kind of faith at the time you need that kind of faith, not a sign. Am I making sense here? Because you just can't just pick any old way you want to pray and expect it to work. There's prayers of consecration. There's prayers of dedication, and then there is the times that you speak and command the word to come forth. That just went over somebody, but I wanted to get into us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I'm going to read it in the Amplified. "But without faith it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him." Lord, I want to be satisfactory to you. I want to satisfy you, God. I want to be palatable. I want to be enjoyable. I want to be a sweet fragrance to you. I want to make you happy. I want to make you sing and rejoice over me with singing. The word says he'll rejoice over you with singing. I don't want him feeling grieved and upset and sad because I'm trying to figure it all out and make it happen. I want God to see my sacrifices of my praise. I want God to see me worshiping him when it don't look like I got any reason to worship. I want God to see me worshiping him and pleasing him because I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. He's not left me down here to be beat up. And if I'm getting beat up, it's because I'm allowing the devil to do it. Really. Because God will get whoever's coming after me. I feel sorry for people who hurt me. Without faith. And this is talking about the God kind of faith. Faith that God's on my side. I've already done my part. I've already humbled myself. I've already said, God, I want your will to be done. If he wants me to be alone the rest of my life, you know what? I will. Even though I don't want to be, but I will. If he wants me to live up here on the third floor the rest of my life, I will do it. I ain't got no problems with that. It's like something has happened inside of me where I just don't care what, if God, whatever you want, because I'm going to heaven anyway. I'm only here so short a time. This is just a temporary place. He said to pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. I just want his will to be done in my life. I don't care. I really, really do care more about what he wants than what I want.
So then it's easy to praise and worship God no matter what it looks like. No matter what it looks like. Because he's got a better day. A better day. Do you know things never stay the same? They never stay the same. I heard a preacher one time say the wheel of God turns very slowly, but it's always turning. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. God has a purpose for our lives. And he knows how to get us to our destination. This is a way of life. This is a way of living. It's a way of living. And I'll tell you something it will really, really do. It will mess up the devil's apple cart. It really does. Here he sees you praising God when you ought to be boo-hooing and you ought to be down and out. Look at what a mess. And you're just praising God. Because you cast the care. You have faith in God. You're listening and know how to speak to the situation when God says to speak. You know what to speak. You know how to speak. He's your commander in chief. He's your savior. He's my savior. He's my God. I don't have another God. I trust him. I just really trust him. And he says that if you'll do that, I got to read this one more time. Let me finish reading this in the Amplified. But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whosoever, that's me, or whoever, would come near to God. Doesn't that say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you in due season? Well, if you want that, without faith to do that, you can't do it without faith. For whoever comes to him or comes to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Doesn't that sound like he'll exalt you in due season? The reward is coming. The time is coming. Sometimes you just got to stand and wait on God and expect the reward. The reward will always come. He promises it right here. He promised it in Peter. The reward is coming. Exalting you in due season is coming. Amen. It always comes. I've never seen it not come. Have you ever seen it not come? I set my face like a flint sometimes before God, and it will come. It will not tarry. It will happen. But I had to humble myself, surrender my life, surrender my will, put it in his hands, cast the care of it, and do whatever God tells me to do from that point on. Then if he says you speak to that, then I speak to it. If he tells me to pray for this one, I pray for this one. You see, I knew years ago that I was called to ministry. Known it from the beginning. I mean, Jesus shows up in my living room. I mean, there was a reason for this. And I knew that I was a messenger. But you talk about being attacked and being bombarded. People called me Sister Job. That first year was an unbelievable year. But you know what I kept on doing? Humbling myself, casting my cares, doing what the Word said to do. Then the Holy Spirit said, I want you to do this. I just did it. And when I got down on the mully grubs and booing and hooing and crying, he says, you're not casting the care. You need to cast the care. Well, it was so hard to learn to do that because the cares just were so big. You got a husband dying. You got kids sick. You got this problem. No, I just had to cast the care. And then the Holy Spirit began to teach me that when you get rid of the care, you're no longer drunk with the care. And now you can hear from God. And now you can do what God gives. The next instructions are coming. And now you can take the word and use it like a sword, like you were sharing. Put on the whole armor. And then you're in a place, in a position, in the middle of the battle. And you're walking in the victory before you ever see the victory. And you're walking in the peace before you ever really should have peace. Right. And the people just kind of scratching their head looking at you like, man, what's she so happy about? Yeah. Because you've got the answer. You've got inside information. Because you know the exalting in due season's coming. You know the rewarder of, he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him out. You know the reward is yours. It's already provided. I'm already blessed. He opens his hand and satisfies my desires. I had fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of God. And so when I come to church, you know the best way to give the devil a black eye? You just drag yourself to church. Oh, God, I got to go to church. Oh, God, I got to get dressed. Oh, God, I got to get ready. Not to mention you get up every morning, go to work every morning. Oh, God, I go to church. This is your only time. We can fellowship and honor him and worship him and hear from him. And what a battle to get to church. But you got this meeting, got that meeting. Oh, it's easy to do that. I'm telling the truth. I've had to push. I've had to shovel snow. I've had to drag kids. I've had to go through alcoholics and all kinds of craziness to go to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Man, that was tough. But it has paid dividends. Things I've learned pay dividends. I've never ever had God not best bless me for coming to his house and worship him and submit to him and surrender to him. Never. Never, never, never. I've been a tither for 32 years. I've never known God never, ever to bless me back. Ever. Everything I ever gave, he always gave me back a way more than I gave. I keep the seed in the ground. 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 Cast your bread on the waters. You never know where it's going to come back. I walked into a store. It was a Goodwill. And here's this beautiful jacket just hanging just for Teresa. I mean, it's literally twice he's done that for me. I've walked into just a Goodwill to kill some time. That pink suit I wear, it was hanging on the outside of the thing just with my name on it. This was hanging with my name on it. Many a time I've walked into places and here you go, the angels just hung it right there just for you. He just blessed me because he can trust me for one thing. You know, he blesses those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. Fact, not fiction. I don't need a sign to believe that. That's what his word says. That's the sign. That's faith. That's the faith. Having faith in God. Having the God kind of faith. Father, I seal this word, and I close with this, God. You bless us, God. You bless us because we diligently search you out, seek you out, hunt for you. You really will. Thank you for blessing us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.